This morning we'll be looking at John chapter 14, if you will turn there. John chapter 14, and I'll read the first six verses of that. After we go through John, we'll be going to 1 Thessalonians in a few minutes. A familiar passage that we all know. John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, I think it's interesting. Last month or recently, we had a big stir in the country about this fellow who said that Jesus was coming on May 21st. And May 21st has come and gone, and the Lord didn't come. And the scriptures are very clear to us that there is not a set date in the Word of God as to when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to take His church, rapture them to heaven. So we have to be very careful about setting dates. And I know that sometimes we take the Lord's coming for granted. And, you know, we get caught up in life and its endless distractions sometimes, and we just don't think about the Lord in His coming. But the Apostle John reminds us of the words of our Savior in John 14, that there will be a coming time when our Savior will be coming back. He'll be coming back. In verse 1, the Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." The Lord was trying to encourage His disciples. He was trying to comfort them, to let them know that He was going to leave them. And they were saddened about that. But at the same time, He was trying to tell them, don't be discouraged. Be comforted of the fact that I'm coming back again. And He says in verse 2, "In my Father's house," that's a reference to heaven, "in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." That word mansions means resting places or dwelling places. That's another rendering that you can call for mansion. You know, if you ever seen a mansion before, and I happen to think of the Biltmore Mansion in Asheville, and I've seen some mansions on TV of some folks out in Hollywood, and these places are huge. I mean, they have dozens of rooms inside of them. They have acres and acres of grounds, of yards and trees and gardens and the like. And you look at these houses and you say, good night. How could people live in a place like that? But you know, brother, sister in Christ, we're going to have something better than that one of these days. And the Lord is saying here that in His Father's house are many resting places, many dwelling places, many mansions. Now, He didn't give a specific description of these mansions, but I believe that they're going to be beyond our imagination and wildest dreams, the beauty and the wonder of these mansions that we'll be living in. And our Savior has prepared these dwelling places, these mansions, for us, each one of us, not all of us collectively, but for each individual believer. And the Lord said at the end of verse 2, "I go to prepare a place for you." The Lord is preparing, or maybe has already prepared, these special places, these mansions in heaven for us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're waiting there right now for us. The Lord has prepared them. And he says in verse 3, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And in verse 3, he says he's going to prepare a place for us. Notice what it says, four simple words in verse 3. I will come again. And this is a wonderful promise for us. I think it should be comforting to our hearts. If we think about this every day, brother, sister in Christ, if we think about the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back again, should that not comfort and encourage our hearts? It would be. It would be. And I think it's interesting that before the world gasps its last breath, before any wars destroy us completely, before all the evil and wickedness that Christ's rejecters can throw at us, the Lord will be coming back to take us to those glorious and wonderful mansions in heaven. And he says, where I am, there ye may be also. That's where our Savior is right now. He is seated at the right hand of the God the Father in heaven right now. And we will be with Him in that same wonderful place someday. People say, well, you know, that's just a pie-in-the-sky fantasy that you Christians, you know, you believe this stuff, but you've got no proof or evidence that it's going to happen. And, you know, why should I believe in that stuff? Well, you know, we as believers, we have something to believe in, and that's the Word of God. This is the Word that the world rejects. They reject this Word because they reject the Savior. But you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a Savior. We have a Savior. We will see Him someday again. We will be in His presence. We will see His face. We will see the nail prints in His feet and in His hands. And we will know that He is ours and we are His. There will be no doubt about it. And the Lord says in verse 4, and where I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Of course, the Lord was talking about going back to heaven after His resurrection. But in verse 6, the Lord Jesus made this wonderful statement. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, there are a lot of voices in the world today who would tell you, well, you know, there are many paths to God. There are many ways that you can get to God. You know, if you're a Muslim or a Buddhist, or you believe in Confucius, or you're a Jew, or you're a Mormon, or you're Jehovah's Witnesses, all these things, all these paths, they lead to the same place. They lead to the same God. But that's not what Jesus said in verse 6, is it? He said, I am the way to heaven. I am the way. He didn't say anything about Buddha. He didn't say anything about Confucius. He said, I, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, am the way to heaven. He says, I am the truth. When we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that He is true. You know, Pontius Pilate looked in the eyes of the Lord Jesus, and he says, what is truth? And there he was, standing right in front of him, the truth of the Word of God. And yet Pilate rejected our Savior. I am the way and the truth and the life, that is eternal life. Let me ask you something. Do you think Buddha can give you eternal life in heaven? Do you think that there's a man in another city in the world who has authority over millions and billions of people, do you think this man is going to give you eternal life? Do you think that going to a specific place at a specific time and seeing an idol or an image that claims to be somebody in the Scriptures, do you think that person is going to save you and give you eternal life? Do you think that, you know, I'm going to live the best way I can, I'm going to lead a nice, clean, decent life and obey the Ten Commandments, do you think that's going to get you to heaven? There's only one way for eternal life to be yours, my dear friend. There's only one way you and I are going to get to heaven, and that is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way. He is the only way. Christians are criticized. Well, you know, you Christians, you're so exclusive. Why do you exclude all these religions? Well, my comment would be, you know, Christianity, biblical Christianity may be exclusive, but it is also inclusive in that everyone may come to Jesus Christ. Every person in this world has an opportunity to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person in this world, every person in this country and state and city of Durham has an opportunity to believe and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Unfortunately and tragically, most will not do that, will they? But you and I, who are most of us, hopefully, this morning, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have made that decision in our lives. We know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We have placed our faith and trust in Him as the only way to get to heaven, the only person who could give us eternal life. And it's sad to say, there are people in the world who refuse to believe that. I hope and pray that you are not one of those people this morning. I hope that you have already made that decision in your life to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, no man, no person, no boy, no girl can come to me, come to the Father, except through me. There are no exceptions. There are no compromises. There are no other ways that we're going to have our sins forgiven and get to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one and true way. And verse 6 is a wonderful verse. And it comes after the fact that the Lord Jesus has told His disciples that He's preparing a place for them, that He's coming back for them someday. And there's a passage in the Scriptures that we're going to look at now that gives us a little more detail. Of course, you already know this passage. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. This is the classic passage on the return of the Lord for His church. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's a beautiful passage, isn't it? And first of all, we see that in verse 14, Paul is saying that if Jesus died and rose again, then those Christians that are already dead in the grave will be raised again someday, and they will be just like the Lord Jesus. Our Savior, as we understand, if you read 1 Corinthians 15, you read the fact that our Savior is the first fruits, He is the first fruits from the dead. He paved the way for our resurrection. He is the precursor of the fact that you and I will be, all the dead believers will be resurrected someday. In verse 15, Paul says that when those of us who are alive, when the Lord comes, will not go before those who are dead in Christ. For this we say unto you, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. That word asleep means, that's a reference to the Christians who have already died or are in the grave right now. They're asleep. And you know, if someone's asleep, we assume that they're going to wake up someday. We're assuming that that sleep that they're in right now is not an endless sleep, that someday those dead Christians will rise from the grave. That's what Paul is saying. But he says in verse 16, he continues on that thought in verse 16, he said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." There won't be a facsimile of the Lord. There won't be a representative of the Lord. There won't be an angel. The Lord Jesus Christ himself will descend from heaven. The Lord will leave heaven and he will descend in the direction of earth. Now, if you read this very carefully, you'll find out that the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage is not coming directly to the earth. And we see further in verse 17, or at the end of verse 16, verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel." Well, first of all, let's look at that word shout. You know, when the Lord comes, he is coming with a shout. It's going to be a sound, and people may ask, well, what's that sound? What's it going to sound like? You know, when the Lord shouts, how can we tell it's really him? Well, we'll know. We will know. But the Lord himself will come with a shout. That word is almost like a command when the Lord comes from heaven. And he says that in verse 16, that he'll come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. With the voice of an archangel. Have you ever heard the voice of an archangel? I haven't either. I see some people shaking their heads. I've never heard the voice of an archangel. Could this be Michael, the archangel, who's coming to whose voice will sound? We don't know, and we don't know what the voice of the archangel sounds like. We say, "Well, what's that going to sound like?" I mean, the archangel, you know, what's it going to sound like? Well, we'll know. We'll know. We will understand that this is the voice of the archangel. Archangel being the most powerful angels that God has created. But it also says, verse 16, that the Lord will descend from heaven with the trump, that is the trumpet of God. Now, you and I have heard, know what a trumpet is. Well, you know, we've heard it, and if you listen to music, you can readily pick out the sound of the trumpet. But this is going to be the blast of a heavenly trumpet. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, it says that the sound of this trumpet will be like the most beautiful music we've ever heard in our ears. The heavenly trumpet. These are three sounds that we're going to hear right before the Lord comes. The shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. We will hear those things in verse 16. And it says, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." All those dead Christians who are in the grave right now, all over the world, will be resurrected first. And people may say, and of course we understand, that all these Christians are going to be resurrected, all of them simultaneously, all at the same time. And people will say, well, wait a minute, you know, that's not humanly possible for a person, all these people at the same time to be resurrected from the grave. You know, well, of course it's not humanly possible. No human being could accomplish such a thing. There's only one person who could do that, and that's our Savior. He can resurrect the people that are dead, all those believers in Christ, and their bodies are in the grave right now. He has the power and the authority to resurrect their bodies from the grave. Think of that. Think of the power that He must have. And we see that in verse 17, that as the dead believers in the graves are resurrected, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain. That's people who are still on the earth, believers who are still on the earth when the Lord remains. That's hopefully you and I. When the Lord comes, that you and I will still be alive to enjoy and to see this incredible event that's coming forth. That we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That word caught up is means to seize. The Lord is coming to catch up, to take off the planet Earth, all those believers in Jesus Christ, the dead believers and the living believers. And you may say, well, the living believers don't need to be resurrected. Well, that's true, but the living believers are going to have new bodies given to them, glorified bodies given to them by our Savior. Because we understand, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, and we saw this Wednesday night, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These bodies that we are living in right now, they can't be in heaven. We're going to have new bodies. We're going to have glorified bodies, bodies that won't decay, won't wear out, won't feel pain, won't be subject to sicknesses or disease anymore. We'll have those bodies. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. You know, the Lord is not coming to earth. He's coming right above the earth in the clouds. There'll be all the dead believers, all the dead Christians, all the living Christians are going to be go up into the clouds, into the air, at the same time. All those ones that you have yearned to see who have died, all those ones that you have loved, all those ones that have gone on before us to heaven, who have died in Christ, we'll see them. Brother, sister in Christ, we'll see them in the air. We'll see them there. We will be with them. Praise God. Praise God. To meet together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. As we go up, there will be our Savior in the air. The Lord Jesus Christ will be waiting for us as we go up into the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord will take us to heaven and we'll never come back to this wicked earth again. Never. We'll be there in heaven with Him, with all the other believers who've ever lived in times past. We'll all be gathered together in that wonderful, glorious place. If you think about this from the perspective of the people that are left here on earth, what's going to happen is, from their point of view, is that millions of people all over the world, living people, that they're going to disappear all at the same time, simultaneously. And people say, well, wait a minute, hold it now, how can that happen? Now, that's not humanly possible. Of course not. It's not humanly possible. Again, we use that word. But from the perspective of the people that are going to be left here on earth, millions of people all over the world are going to disappear at the same time. Think about the chaos that's going to create. Think about the confusion that will create on earth. And that is just the beginning of that great tribulational period that the people on earth will experience when the wrath and judgment of God is poured out on the earth for 7 years. There will be some incredible events, incredible people coming on the scene during that 7 years. This world which we live in today will be totally and completely different at the end of that 7 year period. We probably wouldn't even recognize it. Thank God that we won't be here. We'll be in heaven with our blessed Savior. We'll see Him face to face. And, you know, this morning I just want us to think about these things, to be encouraged in our own hearts that we have a hope. The hope for the Christian is a sure expectation. We have a sure expectation that our Savior is going to come back again someday. I believe that with all my heart. I believe it and without any doubts whatsoever. And I know that you do too. Be encouraged, brother, sister in Christ. Our Savior's coming back. And He will take us to be with Him. Think about that. Think about that. Let's pray. Our Father, we think of Your return. We thank Heavenly Father that someday You're going to come back and You will take all those believers who believe in You to heaven, all those dead believers You will resurrect from the grave. We know this to be a fact, Father. We believe it with all our hearts. And we are grateful this morning, Heavenly Father, that we are in that position of being taken to heaven to be with You. We look for that, we yearn for that shout, Father. We yearn for that voice of the archangel. We yearn for that trumpet of God. We listen expectantly, Father, expecting You to come back and take us on to heaven. We think of these things, and we think of all of it that it's possible through the person of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give You thanks in our soon coming Savior's holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you very much.